I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier at Christ Lutheran Church, Cape Canaveral. And the message today is titled, Freedom of Speech versus Censorship.
Mercy and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today, let's talk together about free speech. Speech that speaks courageously and freely the name of Jesus Christ, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the world. And one reason I think we need to talk about that is it certainly seems freedom of speech is under attack in our day and age, wouldn't you say? As Christians and as Americans, we've been used to freedom of speech enshrined in our country. And yet, it seems like whenever people are speaking up for the truth these days, whether it be for Jesus, for the Word of God, or just to bear witness to what seems to be really going on in the world, it's censored, it's banned, it's shut off, it's shut up, it's shut down, and it's people are seeking to silence it. And so I thought today would be a great day for us to talk about freedom of speech, the free speech courageously for a Christian who speaks the truth of God, the truth of Jesus Christ, and proclaims His name to the world. So what's God teach us about free speech in this day and age for our encouragement in Christ? Well, the first thing, if you think about it, God says in so many words in Scripture, this battle, Christians, that you're fighting in your day and age is no different from that of the other ages. This is an ancient war between truth and lies. How far back does this war go? If you look at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, you see that God says to Adam, He says, Adam, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. So what is that, truth or a lie? That's the truth. But notice how hard upon that, how close following was a lie. The devil came more crafty, more clever, more sinister than any other creature. And he said, did God really say? And he brings out lies. So as soon as the truth is spoken from the Lord, there is a lie there quickly to try to counteract it, to wage war against it, and to conquer it. Of course, Adam and Eve were conquered because they believed the lie, and we've all seen the trouble and devastation since. So the war that we're waging in our present day is the same war that is waged down through the ages. It's an ancient battle. If you look at the prophets, remember Jeremiah was preaching the word of truth. Jeremiah 38, he says to the people in Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, he who stays in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, by pestilence. He who goes out to the Chaldeans shall live. He shall have his life as a prize of war and live. So is that truth or a lie? That was the truth. Jeremiah proclaimed it. What was the immediate response from the princes in Jerusalem? The princes took Jeremiah and cast him into a well, and Jeremiah sank in the mud. In other words, they said, your speech, Jeremiah, is not in accordance with our community guidelines. You shall be banned. You shall be canceled. We're going to cancel your account, throw you into the mud to shut you up. It's an ancient battle. If you look at the apostles, they fought the same thing too, didn't they? In their day, if you look at their preaching, they preached Jesus Christ, the Savior, raised the lame man at the temple. Then the authorities of the day, those in worldly power, those who had the money, who had the influence, who had the position, they said, by what power or by what name did you do this? And then Peter stands up and says, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by his name, this man is standing before you well. So there's the truth, but then what do the authorities of the Jews do? They say, well, what are we going to do? A notable sign has been done on somebody. We can't deny it, but in order that the truth, that is, may spread no further, let's censor them. In other words, let's threaten them, shut them down and charge them, you shall speak no more in this name. Well, that's once again the ancient battle, censorship. They tried to do it to Jesus, to cancel him down too. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And before Abraham was, I am. So what did the Jews, how did they respond to that one, the authorities? We read that they took up stones to throw at him, and Jesus had to hide himself and go out of the temple. In other words, Jesus, your speech, these words, this word of God is not in accordance with our community guidelines. We must cancel your account. You're gone off of Twitter. You're gone off of our YouTube. You're gone off of our Facebook. We will not permit such speech to be heard amongst the people. They said, this man performs many signs. If we let him go on thus with free speech, everyone will believe in him. We have to then, they took counsel from that day on how to put him to death. So my point is, this is an ancient war. If we feel like our freedom of speech is being threatened today, just guess what? God says, this is no different from ages past. You're just in the same world, present darkness of this evil age. You have to fight the same battle. And we see that certainly in our country over the decades, haven't we? Freedom of speech has been under attack. The preaching of the truth. The Bible was cast out of schools at one point, decades ago in America. The Ten Commandments, they try to throw out of classrooms, or courtrooms and classrooms. And Peggy knows this, all of Washington, D.C. basically has scripture etched into the marble of the buildings, right? If you go around, it's scriptures everywhere. They're trying to erase these things in our day. We don't want that speech, say those in authority, many of them. They've tried to shut down the world through political correctness. Remember that? That is nothing more than the ancient battle. They claim this is for fairness of speech, but really it's for destroying freedom of speech. They want to threaten, to make you afraid, to bully you into not speaking the name of Jesus or the truth of this book, the Word. That's what it's all been about, if you take away the facade. They've threatened us not to speak the name of Jesus, not to speak against sin, sexual sin, or the gospel. They say, that's too exclusive. You're a hater. And they try to make you afraid to speak the truth. And it's certainly happened in churches. We've seen that they've bullied out real preachers, trying to anyway, and they've established and exalted wolves in sheep's clothing and many of the church bodies of the world to shut down the freedom of the Word of God from being preached. Do we see it in our present world today too? I mean, like right now? We're astounded at the destruction of freedom of speech in YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and such. They're shutting down any open discussion. There are two sides to the world these days. You know, you hear about COVID and you hear about masks and lockdowns and elections and vaccines and vaccine passports. And which side do you hear propounded on the social media? Only one side of the story, right? That there's a huge pandemic and the numbers are crazy and deaths are rampant everywhere and the election was the most secure in history and lockdowns are the only way out and masks work and vaccines are safe and effective and vaccine passports, that's the way to go for the future. Going to be preaching on that soon, by the way, next week. And vaccine passports, think about this. They're saying, turn over your liberty to us and we'll take care of you. Believe us, trust us. The government will take care of you. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? That's one side. That's all you get to hear. Because if you speak against any of these things on Facebook, YouTube, whatever, they shut you down. They cast you out. They ban you. You're not allowed to call any of these things into question. If you say, well, let's investigate the election. No, no, no investigation. You're a freak. If you question masks and their effectiveness, even by science, out. Question the vaccines, out. Vaccine passports, out. It doesn't even matter if you're a PhD or a Nobel Peace or a prize-winning scientist or a virologist or an epidemiologist or a congressman or a preacher. Out you go. In fact, Beth was telling me even a lot of scripture verses are now being canceled out of Facebook. And so what people, Christians, are doing is they're taking They're writing it on their screen, taking a picture of the screen, and then posting that because it's much harder for them to censor a picture and find the scripture. But they're taking out scripture. So freedom of speech, my point, is an ancient battle. It's an old war. God says, don't think that what you're fighting is anything new. You are part of my army of saints who have been fighting this from day one, and this is your day for a glorious fight in the battle. So be encouraged. Now, what hope do we have, though? Because this is so frustrating, isn't it? It's tough to have technology try to shut down everything you want to say for Christ, for the truth, and for the welfare and help of your neighbor. That's really hard. It's frustrating. It's troubling. What's God say to us for our encouragement? Well, the first thing he tells us today by his scriptures is that fear does not belong to you. Rather, courage is yours. Courage in the saints in this fight has always risen with the increase of danger. So that's a good word for us. If you think about it, look at Micaiah in the Old Testament. Remember that story? Where the king, Ahab, wants to go to war. He's a very wicked and evil king. He wants to go with King Jehoshaphat of Judah to war. The king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said, shall I go up to battle at Ramoth-Gilead against them, or shall I forbear? And all the prophets of Baal, 400 of them, say, go up, for the king, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. So that's the mass word. Everybody's saying, you'll get the victory, go up and fight. Jehoshaphat, being a righteous king there, says, well, isn't there a prophet here of the Lord of whom we may inquire also? And Ahab says, well, there's one other guy. His name's Micaiah, but I don't like him because he never speaks good of me, but only evil. Well, let's bring him in and see what he has to say. And the messenger gets to Micaiah and says, behold, the words of all the other prophets, 400 of them, are all in one accord favorable to the king. Let your word be like one of them and speak favorably. Notice that? That is pressure, peer pressure. That is fear pressing on Micaiah. Everybody's saying this. You speak likewise. Speak favorably to the king. What's Micaiah's answer to that? As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Notice how courage had to be called upon in his heart at that point. But when the danger rose up, the courage rose up. God put it into him to speak the truth. He goes in. Well, what's the word, Micaiah? And he actually jokes with him at first. He's like, yeah, yeah, go up. The Lord will give it into your hand. Oh, how many times do I have to tell you, speak to me the truth? He was playing with him. Micaiah says, you go up. I saw all Israel scattered like sheep upon the mountains, and you shall die in battle, O king. Well, put that man into prison. Shut him up. Censor his speech until I come again. Micaiah says, if you return again in peace, the Lord hasn't spoken by me. Hear this, all you peoples. Do you hear that courage? That's the kind of courage God's going to put into you in this battle. That's the courage he puts into all of his saints in the battle. He put it into Jeremiah. He says, when I tried not to speak, the word in me is like a fire burning in my breast, and I must speak the truth. That's what he's going to do in you. The apostles were charged by the authorities in their day not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. They were bullied. They were threatened. They were even beaten. What was their response? We cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard, they said, these fishermen to the authorities. That's courage. Paul was threatened. He says, at my first defense, no one took my part. Everybody deserted me. I was left all alone, the only one standing for the truth. But what does he say? But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength to proclaim the word fully that all the Gentiles might hear it. Do you see how God puts courage into you? He's doing that in all of the saints to these days. I know when I had to stand up in those days to the seminary professors, I was actually afraid of those ELCA professors and the assistant to the bishop coming down. But with the rise in danger, up came the courage. And I spoke to all of them simply these straight words, and I felt great. You know, Luther, had to do the same. He stood up against the Emperor Charles and the Pope himself. And he said this, listen carefully. He says, if you but once taste of the courage that the Lord puts into you in the face of great adversity, you will want to go back to it again and again, the taste of it. It is an exhilarating thrill to feel the fresh courage of heaven in you against your enemies. You know, that's what God is going to put into us, and he already is. Jesus spoke up in courage. His courage rose with the danger. And he said even before Pilate, for this I was born, and for this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Don't you guys see this today? While they challenge free speech, courage is coming up. Haven't you seen that video of that 9-year-old girl who stood up in red, white, and blue dress against all the whole school board and said, she said, courage begets courage. Thank you very much. She gave the truth. You know, you're seeing 9-year-olds go to battle. Don't let 9-year-olds, okay, run to the battle line ahead of you. You got to go up there with them. Courage is on the rise in the face of danger. We win. The second thing God says to us today is that not only does courage not belong to you, courage belongs to you and not fear, but fear belongs to your enemies. You know, they have a lot of braggadocio. They have a lot of bravado. They have a lot of boasting of their own strength. That's all a facade. It's a total joke. They know that what they're upholding is a house of cards, against which if but a little wind of truth blows, the whole thing comes down. What does it take for the devil's empire to fall? Just one man with the truth. And so the fear really belongs to them. They know that they have a spider's web. If but one stone of truth or pebble even goes through it, the whole thing will be torn to shreds. Think of this. God says, look at Jeremiah. The princes of Jerusalem were afraid of one man in their midst who was speaking the truth. They had to throw him into a well where he sank in the mud. The whole of Jerusalem was afraid of one man, Paul, because he had the word of truth. And so the whole place was set ablaze because of one man. You can see their fear. The apostles, they were just fishermen. What did they know? They were uneducated men. And yet all of the Jerusalem authorities were like, if we don't stop these guys, our whole kingdom is gone. If we don't stop these fishermen who've never been to school, because they had the truth. Notice the fear in the hearts of our enemies. That's why they're fighting so hard all the time to stop even one little word of truth from getting out, because they know their whole kingdom is a house of cards. Now, we'll wait and see what the audit in Arizona has to say, but notice the fear that's at work there. They had to send 100 lawyers to stop just an investigation to see what was going on over there? Who's afraid of an investigation? Is it the truth? Or is it a kingdom of lies? Which one fears? It's not the Christian. It's not the truth that's ever afraid. It's always the enemy who's built upon lies that is afraid of investigations. Why did the Roman Emperor and the Pope have to muster all their forces to take down this one simple little monk, Luther? What did he have on them but the Word of God? But they were afraid of him. Why did they have to send 4 seminary professors and an assistant to the bishop against me when I was a simple little seminarian at an ELCA seminary? I'm just a second-year seminarian. I don't have anything but the Word of God. But they had to send them all because it was fear. If this guy gets in, we're in big trouble, because he's preaching Jesus is the only way to heaven and salvation, justification by faith alone in Christ. They were afraid. As Luther's hymn goes, their might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word will fail them. So not only is courage yours, remember, God tells you, but also fear belongs to your enemies. They may, you know, act like they're not afraid, but they are afraid, believe me. One little word of truth will bring down their whole empire. Thirdly, God says, remember that when you speak the truth freely and courageously in our day and age, know that I'm taking care of you. I will preserve your spirit, I'll preserve your mind, I'll preserve your soul, and I'll preserve your body. Okay? Their threats these days are pretty much, we're going to take away your career. We're going to take away your title, your prestige. We'll even come and hurt your body. We'll cancel you out. We might even kill you. Those are their threats, right? They're trying to work fear that they're going to hurt you. God says, don't worry about that. Let your business be the preaching of my truth. Let my business be the taking care of your body. Right? God says, Jesus says, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body and after that have no more than they can do. But rather fear him who after he is killed has the power to cast into hell. That's God. Yes, fear him, but be of good heart. You're of more value than many sparrows. So God will preserve your bodies even as well. They can't touch you apart from God's permission. Amen? Think about Jeremiah. Let's throw him into the well. Let's get rid of this guy. He'll sink in the mud. He'll die. But God sends, a few seconds later, Ebed-Melech, one of the eunuchs, sees Jeremiah in there. He makes some curtains, ties them together, lowers them in, takes him out. He gets out of the well. How about Paul was at Rome? He was going to be torn to shreds by the council. When the tribune saw that Paul was about to be torn to pieces, he grabbed him and took him and brought him into the barracks to save him. That was God at work preserving Paul, right? If you look at Luther, he was going to be killed by the Roman Catholics for confessing the truth at the Diet of Worms. On the way home, he had Luther kidnapped. Big sheet thrown over him. He's brought away to a castle. He pretended to be a knight named George. God preserved his life and body. And Peter, he was in prison, about to be killed the next day by Herod, brought out to the people and slain. But God sent an angel, brought him out of prison. I had a professor at seminary one time at the Concordia Seminary, Professor Brighton. He said in preaching in Revelation, they cannot touch your body. Don't be afraid. They cannot harm you at all during the days of your prophesying. After that, they can kill you. I was like, thank you. That sounds great. But it's true. They cannot touch you apart from God's permission. If they do touch your body, then you're just simply sharing in the suffering of our Lord, and it's to your greater glory. Even if they were to kill you, it's not until your time of prophesying is over. And then if they do kill you, you're just sharing in the victory that your Lord had when he was also killed for the same thing. Hey, I get to be with my Savior in the same glorious moment. Jesus, they tried to kill, remember. Time and time and time again. But it says they could not arrest him. They could not lay hands on him. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. Until the hour is up, they can't touch you at all. So don't be afraid of that. You preach my truth. You speak Jesus, salvation in him, the word of God, and let me, God says, take care of your body. That's my business. The word of God is your business. Get it preached. Don't be afraid. Courage is with you. Fourthly, he says, remember that with us in this fight, in this ancient war, the word of truth that's in your lips and in your hands cannot be stopped. It cannot be censored. It cannot be silenced. Paul says when he was in prison, they tried to shut him up. They tried to censor him. He says to Timothy, the gospel for which I'm suffering and wearing fetters like a criminal, the word of God, though, is not fettered. He says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which in Christ Jesus goes with eternal glory. So you can't chain up the word of God. The word of God will always speed on and triumph. The word of God is living and active. Every time you try to stop it, it just slips through the cracks and goes through another way, and it's proclaimed to all the earth because the power of God is behind the truth. Remember, the Jews tried to seize Paul. They did in the temple, and they tried to kill him. But Paul says, this is what I was preaching. Nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to the people and to the Gentiles. So Paul's confidence was this: I'm not here on my own authority. I'm not speaking my own word. My word could be censored. It could be stopped. It could be defunct, but not God's word. And what I'm proclaiming is simply the words of these scriptures, the name of my Savior, and that cannot be assailed. It will go forth in triumph. Charles Spurgeon of the 1800s in London, a preacher, said, the word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. All you have to do is let this lion loose, and the lion will defend itself. You put that word out there, and nothing can stop you. When I spoke to those four professors and that assistant to the bishop, they said, this isn't a witch hunt. You don't have to be afraid, Greg. I said to myself, I'm like, yeah, right. They are against me. But I said, I'm not afraid, because all I'm going to do is open the Bible, read to you from here what I believe, and say amen. That's all we're really about as Christians. Let the word of God be alone on the battlefield, and it will get the victory. God says, my word shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish what I purpose and prosper in the way for which I send it. If we're talking about freedom of speech today, God's word is free, it's courageous, and it will prevail to the ends of the earth, to the end of time. I declare to you, so be encouraged. And then remember also that the word we preach to the end of time, which is powerful, is this: the times of ignorance God overlooked, says Paul, but now God commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's fixed a day upon which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he's appointed, and by this he's given evidence to all men and assurance by raising him from the dead. What is the word that we really want to preach? Are we going to talk about elections? Are we going to talk about viruses and such things? Well, a little bit. We need to know some about that stuff. But as Christians, the central force of our ancient battle is to proclaim Jesus Christ, the gospel, and the truth that is found in him. Never forget, that is our mission. And that's the central focus that we have. We tell the world the wages of sin is death. Repent. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let freedom ring. Let that word go forth to the ends of the earth and bring people from death to salvation, from error to the truth, from the power of Satan to the power of God, from death to life. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this isn't your own doing, it's the free gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, says John, even our faith. We're talking about freedom of speech today. Let your tongue be loosed. Let these words ring out from you straight and clear. For courage in you will rise with the danger. Fear belongs to your enemies. God's victory is yours. The word of truth, like a stone, will pass through the cobweb and destroy it. Like a little breath of wind against a house of cards, truth brings their entire empire down. And like a knife through butter, so the word of God goes through the lies and all the lies of this world. Friends, our Lord Jesus Christ is coming, the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord is on our side to help us. We shall look on triumph on all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Freedom of Speech versus Censorship from Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ.